Big football.
I like the biggest football.
I like turtles.
Shout out.
Hey, shout out Maryland.
Shout out Maryland. If you love Big Ten football, you came to the right place. Welcome to Big Banter, everybody, where we talk all things Maryland football because they're kind of fun. And we also talk all things Wisconsin football.
Alex butchered this opening so bad that we didn't even have a funny cold open, and it turned into a funny cold open because we're talking about Wisconsin football, and they're hilariously bad. Whoa. Wisconsin football. Some things have to be sacred on this podcast. You can't.
Some things money can't buy. For everything else,
no!
Wisconsin football.
Is there a dairy raid curse on the Wisconsin football program?
I know what the curse is on that football program. It's Luke Fickell. He is the curse.
It's kind of Luke Fickell.
Okay, let's start off the conversation here because. Coming off not just losing a conference game, not just losing a conference game at home, not just losing a conference game at home to Maryland when you're 10-point-plus favorites. You went into that game and, guys, Wisconsin was dead on arrival. Like, just dead. I'm going to give you guys an over-under. We like to do some you know, betting intricacies here on the pod. I'm going to create one here for you. Is that okay?
That is okay.
Okay. Over under 1.5 weeks until Luke Fickell is fired.
Oh, okay. Let me look at their schedule.
And I do think they have a bye week after this.
No, because they play Michigan for the homecoming game.
They have a bye week this week. They are not playing football this week.
So I...
You know what I heard today, over. Though?
Whoa. A pick. Come on, pick.
He's not going to get fired on a bye week. He can't get fired on his day off. He said a week.
You said a game and a half, Ethan?
I said a week and a half.
I'm going to go over. Because they won't have a game in the next week and a half.
His point was
we'll do
proven
game and a
wrong,
half. We'll
so
do game and a half.
Shifting the goalposts.
I'm going to say right at game and a half, he's going to be fired at halftime of the Iowa game.
In that scenario,
that would be epic. That would be dope.
No, I still think push. I would take the. I don't think you can fire him after going to Michigan and getting. In losing what we would hope.
I'm going under. I think there's a good chance they get boat raced by Michigan, and that's just don't hit the plane on the way home. Find a different one that takes you somewhere else, Buckwheat.
Yeah, I think I'm also gonna take the under because
Michigan's
he's also
gonna
have
put
a
bullet in him and yeah.
Yeah, he's going to have a bye week to prep for this game, and then he's going to go out there and still look horrible, and they're going to be like, forget it. This experiment is over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. All right, well, that was fun. That's my fun for the day.
That was our segment on Wisconsin football. So sad.
I mean,
there was some good football played this week, though.
Yeah, no doubt. And, I mean, Maryland deserves some flowers. Like I was just going to give a quick snip on the opposite end of that. Like Maryland has found, a quarterback who can actually play football. Like
they have a quarterback.
It's just unbelievable. I mean, they look like a functioning team. They didn't get ranked, did they? Did they creep into the top 25 after that game or no?
I don't think so, but I'll check.
It just feels kind of crazy that like we live in a world where Indiana and Maryland are both undefeated at this stage of the season. Lots of stuff is still going to happen. But hey, they just went into Madison, a place
Hasn't
that's
been lately.
typically hard to win, and blew the doors off of Wisconsin. I mean, that game was 27 to 10. It wasn't that close. It was not that close. Malik Washington, that's who it is. 18
Maryland
of
is
30.
not ranked, just for the
Yeah,
record.
they're not. 18 of 34 for 265 yards and two
I mean,
touchdowns. No picks.
just to
Pretty good.
close up this conversation on Maryland real quick, like how many times throughout the entirety of this podcast were we like, I don't know, Locksley might, kind of be on the hot seat, or like, they might need to move on, or like, what do you do if you're Maryland? And I think this is why we're three dudes with a podcast and not an athletic director for a college. Because what did you
Yeah,
see
no
in
doubt.
Locksley that would have instilled you some
Well,
confidence to keep him around after?
hang on, hang on. They haven't played anybody yet. This is still a Maryland team that
Right,
can absolutely go 6-6 this year.
I was going to say, how
So,
many times have we had this exact
yes. Yeah.
conversation where Maryland has started off a season 4-0 or five and
But
one,
how?
and then they're
Yep.
struggling to make a bowl game at the end of the
Because
year?
the Big Ten schedule gets
But how many
started, and then
times?
it's all
Correct.
downhill from there. I mean, they played
Correct.
Washington.
How many times have they gone and started off, their typical 3-0 and gone to a Wisconsin team, like a team that you would think that they're somewhat comparable to, and lose? I mean, what? Wisconsin was a double digit, I just
Well,
think they're a dead
I think
program, but they were
Wisconsin's a
also a
dead
double digit
program. I think
favorite.
Wisconsin's a dead program. Agreed. Okay, let me just give you some context here. Their remaining schedule is Washington, Nebraska, Indiana, Rutgers, Illinois, Michigan State. I'm sorry, I left out UCLA. Washington, Nebraska, UCLA, Indiana, Rutgers, Illinois, Michigan State.
There are two for sure wins on that schedule.
Yeah, UCLA. I mean, UCLA, they play at MSU.
I was thinking Rutgers.
They play at Rutgers. I'm not going to give them that game.
You're probably right. So yeah, UCLA, there's one game that I'm like, yes, Maryland's winning that. And
Yeah.
the other ones are road games and they're weird.
And listen, they'll probably win three of them. That puts them at 7-5.
No,
Okay,
I
that's
want to
enough
talk more
Maryland
about
talk.
Maryland.
All right, let's move on. Let's move on to a team that had the most impressive performance of the weekend, and I don't think there's a close second. Guys,
No.
for all the things that have been said about Cignetti and the lackluster schedule and blah 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 and all that, listen, they just played a ranked Illinois team who was ranked inside the top 10. Bloated ranking, maybe. I didn't think so heading into it. Obviously, I mean, that game was over before the first whistle was blown. 63 to 10, and they just go absolutely bonkers in every facet of the game. Defensively holding Luke Altmyer to 12 of 22 for 146 yards. The game was over before it even had a chance to begin. And I'm telling you right now, for Fernando Mendoza, he's a top three quarterback in the Big Ten. Tell me I'm wrong.
I saw
Tell me
ops
that kid's not a
three.
stud.
I saw a list where he
Tell
in
me
like
that
a
kid's
Heisman
not an
Power
absolute
Rankings, and
stud.
they have him at number one.
He's unbelievable. 21 of 23 for 267 yards and five touchdowns.
Yeah,
As
it's
our good
nasty.
friend Corey would say, is that good? He's disgusting. All he does is just make plays. And I was watching some of the passes and I'm like, this kid doesn't miss. Everything is directly on the money. Just unbelievable performance by Indiana.
Am I drunk, or did Illinois have two rushing yards in this game? Please don't tell me that's true.
You are not drunk. It is because of all the sack yardage Luke Altmyer took, because he had negative 27 yards. They had 2 rush yards in the game.
They have 47 yards because of sacks in here. So even if you take away the sack yardage, that's 49 rushing yards.
They never got the chance. They were down by a billion points before the game started.
This was embarrassing. The worst part about this is we just kind of glossed over this number. 7 sacks. Brett Bielema, this was the problem for you guys last year. You have a really freaking good quarterback, and you couldn't keep him upright last year long enough to help you win games. And now you go into this season, and you did not address the problem whatsoever. Illinois, this is criminal, what they're doing to Luke Altmyer.
I think that's one of those yuck, throw it in the garbage type of games for Illinois. There just was nothing going their way from the time, you know, the game started. Can they move on? Can they play a lot better? Yes. And I think they will. But, I mean, Indiana, their road to the playoff is paved in gold. Let me just say that.
It's just an embarrassing – I don't care if it's on the road. It's just an embarrassing performance from a team that has not – they're a veteran roster overall. They returned so much of last year. They have a veteran quarterback. They have a seasoned head coach in this league. And Corey complained about this when we talked about Illinois last year, that, like, they've had opportunities over the past couple of years to get over the hump, and they find ways to trip themselves up.
That's why I haven't been able to buy Illinois stock over previous seasons, is because you had your best chance at a Big Ten West title when it existed, and you couldn't do it. Like, that was the most talented roster they had in the Bielema era thus far, and they had Michigan on the ropes, and they couldn't do it. They could not do it. I think, let's just say this. Number one, Cignetti is still a guy who is a fantastic coach and runs his mouth, maybe a little too much, because I think they caught him like saying, like, oh, you're playing Iowa next week. And he's like, oh yeah, there'll be more of a challenge than Illinois, which is just hilarious. Cause it's not true. Anyway, if you are Indiana at the end of the year, I think they play Penn State and Oregon, or I could be mistaken. I know for a fact they play Penn State. Let's say Indiana loses that game. They play both? Okay. You finish, you go 1-1 in the Oregon Penn State games. How on earth, just like Ethan said, how on earth do you keep Indiana out of the playoff? In conference opponent, top 10 win by 50 points. And it's like you're going to put in a 2-loss SEC team? Oh, because they're bought full body of work.
No, that's why I said Indiana's playoff road is paved in gold. I already said that. They're in. They go 10-2. They go 10-2 with putting a bullet in a top 10 team early in the season.
I just don't want a scenario.
They lose
the
both
other,
of those.
I don't want a scenario.
And the other teams
where,
on there.
We have this dialogue, like a Notre Dame. Okay, Notre Dame has 2, you know, very good quote unquote losses. And let's say that Indiana finishes with 1 loss on a weaker schedule. I don't want to hear this dialogue of like, well, Notre Dame had a tougher schedule. And
Whoa. Indiana would then have a win over top 10 Illinois and then a top 5 win
thinking,
over either
Oregon
or Penn
State. I was just thinking
of
a scenario with the 2 losses
in that scenario.
Notre Dame, just because that's the only one I could think of.
Okay, I just want to say this. I just want to say this really quick. There will never be, for the rest of our time on this planet, there will never be an SEC school or a Big Ten school that goes 10-2 and does not make the playoffs. I don't care if it's I don't care if it's Vanderbilt in the SEC, and I don't care if it's Maryland in the Big Ten. They're in. Period. End of story. They are in. Their brands are too big. There's no scenario where they're getting left out. 11-1, Lord help me. They're going to be a top five team if they're 11-1
this past year. With an 11-1
Yeah, and they got in. They were never getting in.
It was the 10-7 10-7 for Indiana Notre Dame. Was that what it was?
I don't remember. Sure, maybe. It's a moot point because they're never leaving that team out.
There's 14 teams that get in. They were ranked seventh. Because we thought a undefeated Power 5 team would never get left out of the playoff, and we saw that before our eyes. So I think there's too many scenarios, especially with 12.
Okay. Can I give this caveat? Outside of the week before the playoff starts, I'm so sorry. The Indiana quarterback.
Mendoza,
thank you. Blows out his knee and they're 10-2. Outside of that scenario,
well, they wouldn't lose.
They are getting
Mendoza
in.
Because his brother is the backup. So it's like, hey, we have him. Mendoza's here.
Oh, yeah. Hey, guys, Mendoza's healthy. Isn't that crazy?
Did you just like, put I saw his brother's jersey on too. His brother? No. No, we did not.
Okay, any final points on Indiana before we move on?
That little brother thing is kind of a hack for AP poll voters. They would never know the difference.
Yeah, and, so true. They don't watch these games.
Absolutely they don't watch not. Games.
Is if you guys already are paying, the greatest Indiana football coach ever? Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Bro, that's it. Lee Corso he just got off the show, man.
He wasn't this good in Indiana. Sorry.
I'm not gonna lie. I have no idea what he did at Indiana, but
nothing. We're moving on.
you can't say nothing. He was the first successful football coach to coach at Indiana. Okay. I can almost guarantee you that.
All right.
Ethan is mean. Since when does he run the show?
Second biggest game in the Big Ten this week. I mean, listen. We talked a lot about, because they came in at the same time, Matt Rhule and Luke Fickell. Now, Matt Rhule is not in the same galaxy as far as hot seat goes when it comes to what Luke Fickell is, because Luke Fickell is just a dead man walking at this point. But guys, when is Matt Rhule? Is he Scott Frost 2.0?
Absolutely not.
Did they just reincarnate Scott Frost? I mean, okay, you take it and go. You take it and go.
Nebraska make. I know this is in this age of college football, it doesn't mean as much. When did Scott Frost make a bowl game at Nebraska? Did he? And if he did, he sure as heck didn't win a bowl game either. I know that's like.
I think that's it. I think he didn't win a bowl game. But who cares about
Matt
bowl
Rhule
games?
Has already made it to a bowl game quicker than Scott Frost, and he's already won a bowl game, which is something that Scott Frost didn't do. Like regardless of whether or not it matters, there is statistical improvement from Scott Frost to Matt Rhule. My point,
just to redirect, I'm sorry. My point more so lies in the fact that this team, which it's a much more veteran-laden team now, they cannot beat ranked opponents. At home against an extremely young Michigan team, okay? True freshman quarterback, yada, yada, yada. If not then, then when? And again, they just can't. That game was not anywhere close, as the final score said. Michigan was a far better team than Nebraska.
I think Michigan is more talented, for sure. Your defensive line in that game was just outrageous. Even with Raiola having a pretty big game, it was like a bend don't break type of situation. It seems like you're going to give Matt Rhule a little bit more time, a little bit more rope, since you can see the improvement over that program from Scott Frost. You can. Like, you can see the improvement of Dylan Raiola from year to year under Matt Rhule. And I can't, I mean, we're not comparing it to Michigan or Harbaugh, but like, you gave Harbaugh all of the leash in the world because of the past success that he had and because he made your program better than the previous regime. Matt Rhule has made Nebraska better. Are there still glaring issues? Absolutely. Absolutely, there's glaring issues. But Nebraska hasn't gotten back to the level of football that they want to get to since they've left that level of football in the 90s. So I don't know what you would do to bring somebody else in unless it's a surefire, like, oh, yeah, this guy is a rock star.
We can all stem it back to Bo Pelini.
Like, when they fired Bo Pelini, we're kind of like, why?
Why? Yeah. Well, and Alex, I want to get to you. I got a question for you. I think when I look at the game plan of Nebraska in this game, it's the exact opposite of what Michigan had. Michigan just had a fantastic game plan going into this game. Not very well executed by the players in some areas, especially offensively when it comes to the pass game. But what is Nebraska doing focusing on taking away the pass when you know, if you're Matt Rhule, you know you can't stop the run. Like, that has to be, Michigan's got a two-headed monster at running back, including a quarterback with the ability to run. Guys, we're going to take away the pass.
Yeah. I didn't understand much of what Nebraska wanted to do defensively, but honestly, Nebraska's defensive line is a bunch of new bodies that I feel like they were hoping they hit in the transfer portal. They had to. They lost a couple key defensive linemen to the transfer portal, and they were counting on these new guys to come in and be like, well, we need you. You have to hit, and the success of this defense and this football team is going to rely on that. And obviously in their first big test, they failed miserably, and not against an elite offensive line. We've seen an elite offensive line at Michigan in the past few years, and this one is not that, although they played much better. So I didn't understand the game plan, but I do disagree somewhat with what you said, though, that, you know, the game, Corey talked about it before we got on and said, you know, the game was never in doubt. Michigan was always going to win that. And that saying Michigan's a far better team than Nebraska. I don't know if I'm just a pessimistic fan. That's normally not me of the three of us, but I watched that game and I do see all of the bright spots that you guys see, the defensive line dominance, the dominance in the run game, the vastly improved offensive game plan that was run out there. But then I see all those things and I think to myself, this was a one possession football game for a majority of the time. And it was because of poor special teams play by Michigan. They can't find a good punter to save their life, and their return guys continue to allow balls to hit the turf and get for them unfavorable bounces. You also have some of the poorest tackling I've ever seen in my entire life. It was a tale of two halves when it came to the tackling. First half, Michigan couldn't bring down a toddler. And the second half, they got one hand on you and you were on the ground. I don't know what they did at halftime, if it was freaking HGH or whatever they put in those boys, but they learned how to tackle in the second half. If they can carry that out through the season, this is going to be a much better team than the one I saw. But you still have some of these just infuriating moments from this football team, whether it be a dropped pass, a poor special teams play, a freaking halftime clock mismanagement that leads to a Hail Mary, which probably doesn't happen if Sherrone Moore is on the sideline. But there are still some undisciplined things going on at Michigan that kept this game closer than it needed to be. And if you do that against an Ohio State or even a team that's slightly better than
Alex,
Nebraska, you might not come out of there with a win.
But I think you can look at that as a positive as well. I think what they were really going through was like just the lack of focus. Like, when you aren't making those tackles and you're having a hard time bringing those guys down, it's because you're not doing the little things right. And the way that you can figure out to do the little things is to get that focus. You didn't have your head coach there. So it kind of makes some sense that you weren't doing the little things right and you were kind of had some mental lapses. It should encourage you that they get to the second half and they make second half adjustments and they look better. If it was a situation where in the first half they look sharp and in the second half that's when they're missing their tackles, I think it's a completely different story. I think when you watch that game in its entirety, the announcers were even talking about it. Nebraska struggled against the run this year, even in a short sample size, and Michigan has a very – they've built a reputation of being a run-first offense, and now they have two very underrated runners, again, outside of the Corum and Edwards era. And that's why I think Ethan and I were sitting there saying, like, okay, they're going to exploit Nebraska's weakness with their identity, and that's exactly what happened. The thing that convinced me in the game was when Nebraska came back and scored, and they tied the game before halftime. And then immediately after, Haynes gets that huge run. I think it was like the 60-yard touchdown run. After that, you got punched in the mouth and then immediately responded with a huge play and then took back the lead. So that tells me where those two teams lie, and that's why I wasn't nervous at all.
Yep, there were a lot of things like you talked about from the refocusing in the second half and just the poise that a young football team had to go on the road and win a game like that. Those are all very, very, very positive signs. So I was definitely seeing two sides of a coin that day, and we'll see which side lands up going forward.
So just some quick context here. In the game, Michigan had 7 missed tackles in the game. 6 of them were in the first half.
Yes.
It's yep. 6 that of their sounds, 7 missed yeah. tackles in the first half.
That's exactly what you saw.
Nebraska had 8 missed tackles in the game. They had 5 and 3. Or I'm sorry, 3 and then 5. The way I look at it is Michigan dominated in the trenches on both sides of the football. Michigan's offensive line bullied Nebraska, and same thing on the defensive side of the ball. They were in the backfield in Dylan Raiola's face the entire game, the whole game. Jayshon Barnum and Rashad is it Penny or Benny?
Benny.
Those two dudes lived in the back. I'm telling you right now, Jayshon Barnum, he is going to be a first round pick. That dude coming off the edge.
He's going to be a combine. Oh,
that dude is a menace to society. Like, you now have a guy on your defensive line who is going to be game planned around, game in and game out, because he's a terror coming off the edge. And those dudes standing up on the edges in, like, obvious passing downs. And how many times did we see them even come out of those stances when there was a run play and find a way to stop the run? Those two guys making huge tackles. So very, very impressed with Michigan. Still a lot of stuff that team's got to work on. A lot. And I'm not trying to deny that. I just kind of look at it more so as where they're at program building wise. And I would consider this to be ahead of schedule. I think this team has a very high upside.
Program building wise, is Nebraska ahead, behind, or right on schedule?
I would say behind. I don't think Dylan Raiola has made the progression that people expected him to. You look at, okay, eye test to, if I were to just read off his numbers in that game, it does not match up. Let's be honest about that. Two of the passes that he had in the game accounted for 100 of his yards. Right. One was a Hail Mary that was gifted to him. So, yeah. I mean, and not that you can take him away. You can't take plays away. You know, he earned those stats. He gets those stats. And then there was some garbage time where Michigan was kind of letting them move the ball down the field as well. So, I think if you were to watch that game, I think you'd give Dylan Raiola a C plus grade, somewhere around there.
Yeah, and
He
it's
made
hard
some
to.
good throws, but listen, in the end, not only did he not do enough to win the game, he really didn't come super close in my mind to doing enough to win the game.
Yeah, to your point though, I feel like a lot of that is because of the pressure, but generated by the Michigan's defensive line. But I will agree with you. I think Nebraska feels behind schedule as far as Matt Rhule's tenure goes. He's definitely better than
I don't
Scott
think you can.
Frost. I don't think you can make a direct comparison there outside of
No,
the
but I
number of
do
close
think
losses.
I think this needed to be a we're competing to get in the playoff year for
Right. I don't
Nebraska.
agree with
And
that. I
it's
don't agree
not
with that
going to be
statement.
that.
I don't think you can.
No, it's
I
not.
don't think you can say a team that went 6-6 last year and lost a ton on the defensive side.
We live in a new era of college football. And Nebraska has all the NIL money in the world. That's all
They
anyone in
haven't
that
had anything to
entire
build off
state
of in
cares about.
a decade plus. You can't just expect them to just flip the switch overnight. Like Indiana, like we're looking at Indiana, they caught lightning in a bottle and they got probably the best kept secret coach in America and turned them into a powerhouse overnight. Like that is a product of this age of college football, but that is not the standard. It just isn't.
Raise your hand if you thought Kirk Cignetti was going to be a one-hit wonder season-wise at Indiana. All
Two
three
of
of our
us are
hands.
raising our hands.
No, all three of us are
Sorry.
raising our hands. I was about to say, Corey, you're a hypocrite because we just talked about it last year
Right.
at your house.
Okay, but that
If you were not going to put your hand up.
but that does
Oh, this
that
is he's
I think
unbelievable. He's
supports that
unbelievable.
point. Like it could just be a fluke, like And it, that stuff just doesn't happen. They were 6-6 last year. Stuff like Indiana just doesn't
What stuff
happen.
just
Like
doesn't
they are an
happen?
enigma.
I
It
think in this
happens
day and
more than
age,
you think now.
in this day and age of college football,
Name me
I think
somebody else other
it
than
can
Indiana.
and does happen.
Look at the Jekyll and Hyde seasons for Florida State over the last 3 years. It's like the
Okay.
freaking Michael Scott, snip, snap, snip, snap, snip,
You
snap.
can turn it you can turn it around. You can
Yeah,
turn
but
it
Florida
around in
State
today's
has
college
been,
football in one off season.
Florida State's been a has been a powerhouse,
Okay, Florida
and
State
they had a
had been a
disastrous
powerhouse.
year, and now they're good again because
Yeah.
guess what? They're Florida State. They've been great for a decade now, outside of their enigma two-win season. Great, great in a smaller scale. They've competed for an ACC title. Nebraska hasn't done that. Nebraska has yet to compete for a Big Ten title outside of 1 year when Ndamukong Suh was a Heisman finalist. That's the last time they were good. I understand you can flip your roster incredibly, but nobody in their right mind right now is going to give an edge to Nebraska over like a Florida State. They're still going to follow the brand. It is more likely to happen for a team that has had sustained success than one that has been down in the ruts for years now.
I think what's hitting me though, and causing me to say they're behind schedule, is because this season for Nebraska after this week is starting to feel like, okay, Matt Rhule, if you don't get to 10 wins next year, then you might not be the guy. Because this is starting to feel like an 8-win season for Nebraska.
I was going to say it could be a 7-5 year. So you took it a little, or I guess I took it a little further than you did as far as the negativity goes. But yeah, this is it's a team that I could absolutely
I think
see like next year being the
I
year.
mean next
Could
year
you
will be
agree
a
with
really
that,
important
Corey?
year, but I think you have to curb your expectations. When was the last time Nebraska had 10 wins?
You
I
can't
don't care. You have the number one quarterback in a system for 3 years and I can't ask you to win 10 games in today's college football?
Right.
I vehemently disagree with you if you don't think that's the case. I'm sorry. I don't care what program you are. You could be Duke for crying out loud. If you get the number one quarterback in, mm-hmm. and he is your starting quarterback for 3 years, and you're not winning 10 games,
he's fired.
I'm out. I'm out.
Okay.
Not fired.
I wouldn't be shocked if he was fired if they don't win 10 games next year.
If they don't make the playoff, if they don't make the playoff with Dylan Raiola as their quarterback, adios. That's who Matt Rhule hitched his wagon to.
That's it. Yep. That's it. That's the
take. He hitched his wagon. That's the take. It's just like there is no difference than Michigan gave every last ounce they had. I think COVID saved Jim Harbaugh's job at Michigan. I truly believe that. I do. And then he went out and he said, I'm getting my guy, and went and got J.J. McCarthy. I guarantee you they told him, that's your last one.
If Sharon doesn't make the playoff with Bryce Underwood.
Oh, goodbye.
Gone.
Adios. See you later.
Like that is how this works, unfortunately.
He might only have 2 years with Bryce to do it. That's true. He might they might want a new guy in there for Bryce year three if he doesn't make it next year. So that's just the speed at which the game works now. You don't get to be a Kirk Ferentz anymore. Those are unicorns. Those don't exist.
Yeah, it's too, I shouldn't say easy, but it's too feasible to turn your roster over in 1 year.
Also, Iowa is 1-6-6. 7-5 season away from saying adios to that guy.
We
could be like Indiana now.
4 years.
Bye.
About Iowa.
No, but
that man,
okay.
That man will die on the sideline at Iowa.
No, I am saying this. I am saying in the new schematics of college football, he's a dinosaur.
Oh yeah.
He's a dinosaur.
Yeah, he is a dinosaur.
I have to believe there are enough people at Iowa who donate money to that program that are going to see what's happening at schools like Illinois and Indiana.
And how long
is Brett Bielema telling me we can't be as good as them?
He's been there a while.
How many 10 wins seasons does he have at Illinois?
Seven. I was going to say 5 years. Oh, they won 10 games last year. Okay, but you're taking out of context what we're saying, because the 12-team playoff started last year.
And I think
this is the new era of college football.
You know, draw those conclusions quite yet.
I think you're going to see way, way, way more guys that are on NFL type leashes.
I think that might be
win wrong. Now or get out of my program.
Especially if you're a team who isn't a brand like a Michigan, like a Florida State, like a, you know, insert, you know, your blue blood here.
But let me give you this, because never have you been more what's the word I'm looking for? Never have you been more not tied. That's not the right word. I'm sorry. I'm like losing.
First thing
it mentally,
I've agreed with you all.
But
night.
Never have you been held more accountable. But never have you been held more accountable by the donors to a program than now. The donors get a way bigger of a say now, because what happens when the tap gets shut off? Because they're like, you know what? As long as you guys have this head coach here, clearly we can't win.
How can
so,
we speak to what
no more
the
money.
Landscape is going to be for this expanded playoff when we've only had 1 year of it? I just don't think we can draw those conclusions. I don't think we can treat Nebraska as a blue blood because they haven't had the success that they had in the old age of college football and as they have now. I think Rhule's leash will still be a little bit long. I don't think that he gets fired next year. I don't, if they don't get 10 wins. But because of his past success, in this new age, we still don't know enough. We don't have enough data to make a logical conclusion of how these schools are going to act or react to the landscape, especially if you're on the outside looking in.
All right. Well,
enough of last week.
What's that? Yeah, exactly.
Enough of last week.
Listen, there's a few matchups this weekend. Obviously, we've got to start with the Big Ten. Newly ranked USC is now a guys. Listen, you want to talk about the craziest game to bet? Okay, can I just give you a game, and I just want to mess with your brains for just a moment. USC just played an 11 p.m. game on the West Coast. Okay, so what time is that for them? It started at 8, kicked off at 8 West Coast time. They are now flying to Illinois this Saturday. Illinois coming off the bludgeoning that we already talked about. And USC is favored by 6.5.
Oh, boy.
Guys.
On the road.
Guys. I'm telling you right now, first of all,
I'm going to touch it.
Do not touch it. But
I'm going to touch it. I'm going to bet my savings on this game.
Whoa. I just feel like this is one of those spots where, like, it's Illinois or nothing. It's Illinois plus the 6.5 or nothing. Because that number is trying to tell you something like, ooh, look. You get to bet USC against that team that just got their face rubbed against the curb. And I'm telling you, bright, shiny lights. Remember, bright, shiny lights.
You dare just bet they Illinois ain't free. Outright in that game? If you are going to touch it?
No.
Sprinkle
no.
A little something?
No. Mm-mm. I mean, sure. If you're well, if you're an insane person, yeah, go insane. Right ahead. It could hit.
I've been betting Purdue the past few weeks.
I love that. All right.
Maybe.
All right.
Shut up, really?
It did work.
It worked one of the times.
50%.
Yeah. All right. Next up, Indiana.
Wait, we didn't actually pick it.
Oh, I'm so sorry. We
I
didn't,
said I was
did we?
Bet them to
I'm taking
outright,
Illinois.
So I
already
I'm
said that.
I'm taking Illinois.
Wow.
I guess I'll take Illinois.
I was gonna. You can't do USC. You can't. Listen, everybody. I bet you by the time that game kicks off, 85% of the bets are going to be on USC, and the money split will be like 60% of the money's on Illinois. All right, next up, Indiana traveling to Iowa off of that same bludgeoning, except they were the ones with the sledgehammer in their hand. Indiana favored by 7.5 in this game. Iowa has showed a pulse offensively, but not really. They don't have a quarterback and they can't pass the ball. So, I mean, they've had games where points have been scored. I guess I'll say that.
They do they do have a quarterback. Let's clarify. They do have a rostered quarterback.
They do have
a
quarterback on roster. He just isn't good.
They scored 38 Listen, points. That's pretty big deal.
Yeah.
I wonder if Cade McNamara would come back.
You want to talk about something being like fool's gold? Their quarterback, Gronowski, or however you say it, went 12 of 18 for 186 yards and no touchdowns in that game.
I'm taking so, Iowa plus the points in this game.
Yeah, you know what? It's one of those situations where you just kind of look at it and you're like, oh, man, yeah, Indiana, the better, way better team, blah, 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 blah. Traveling into Iowa, it's a tough place to play.
Is it a night game?
It's a 3:30 kick. So it will end under the lights.
I like a little two-pick teaser there. Illinois and Iowa home dogs add some points.
Yeah. Okay, but here's the thing. I'm taking Indiana. I think the SIG show is for real. I don't think Iowa's any good. Their defense has not played up to standard so far this year. And you want to talk about a team that can come in and put up some points on you in a hurry? Cignetti's just got that team hungry. I don't worry about the coming off the bludgeoning of Illinois and having there be a slip. Mm-mm. Nope. This is one of those spots where they're just like, oh yeah, they're dangling that number out there. We're going to give you more than a touchdown. Look at us. We're so generous. Iowa plus 7.5. No, I ain't buying what you're selling. Give me Indiana.
I'll punt the points. Iowa's starting running back is going to be out of this game as well. I think he's hurt. Jayzeon Patterson. And if Iowa can't run the ball, I'm not quite sure what they'll do. I am a little bit weary that like Indiana just plays like a dumbed down version of the game, like a safe version. It's like we got this game in the bag, and just kind of plays with their food. That's my one concern. But if you're just looking at talent alone, Ethan, I agree with you. If they could do that to Illinois, what can they do to Iowa? A little scary.
Yeah. And listen, Indiana's probably going to be the public side of this, but the public wins sometimes. And I just think Indiana is a little bit closer to the real deal than we wanted to give them credit for. All right, next up, Ohio State traveling to Washington. Ohio State's first true road test of the year. Ohio State favored by 8.5 in this game. I hate this number. I hate it. I hate it so much. Can I ask a quick question? Does this not have backdoor garbage time cover all over it?
Yeah, it does.
We've been up by 14 the entire game. You've got Ohio State. We've been up by 2 touchdowns the whole game. Garbage time, 3 seconds left. Touchdown, Washington. And all your hopes and dreams just fly out the window. I don't like it. No chance I'd be putting anything on this game. But give me Washington plus the 8.5. Ugh.
Boys, Washington covers this game. I'm sprinkling it to win. Just because I feel like it. Because I'm fueled with hatred. Just because the Cleveland Guardians have pissed me off so much that I just need to pour my hatred into something else from the state of Ohio, and Ohio State's going to be it. I find it very funny that this game is kicking off at 3:30 local time in Washington, and that means it's basically big noon kickoff. So, like, Ohio State's just going to be even more pissed off because we're playing another noon game, technically speaking. I hate it.
I mean, if you're looking for some stats to back that up, every pass Williams threw in that Washington in the Apple Cup,
I don't think he's
every pass he threw was a touchdown
this year.
He hasn't. He went 16 of 19. Okay, did you hear what I just said? 16 of 19 for 300 yards and 4 touchdowns. Kid was freaking slinging it. So, I mean, we've talked about Williams. If you're looking for a reason to think Washington has a chance in this game, I mean, I think Ohio State is going to win. They're the much more talented team. But hey, traveling out west, it's we've talked about it several times on this podcast, and it always ends up being a bigger deal than people think it's going to be. It's
Plus, it that is stadium is such a bucket deal. List.
So,
it's gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
It's on the water. Oh, that atmosphere is going to be sweet. Like a college football stadium on the water is just insane. But yeah, I think Washington's a pretty tough team. I'm going to, this, not, we already had the litmus test in the Texas game for Ohio State. But to see, well, I mean, you did.
Did we?
Those were two very talented teams, and Ohio State came out on top. Like, and then you say, okay, Ohio State, is their hangover is going to be very minimal, if at all. This will show you how far along Saiyan actually is getting out of the horseshoe and into a place that is unfamiliar. So I'm excited to see this game. I think it'll be a lot of fun hate watching. Will Ohio State probably win? Yes, but I want the record to be shown that I will bet against them.
Alex.
I'm taking Washington plus 8.5. I will also probably put a little bit money line just because I'll be rooting for it. But fun fact, Washington is currently on a 22 home game win streak.
Wow.
Keep that in mind, fellas.
Wow, wow, wow. Yeah, and you know what? We live in a day and age in college football where losing a road in-conference game isn't that big of a deal. I mean, Ohio State could lose this game and still absolutely make the playoff. But,
oh, yeah.
You know, it's a bigger game than what the rankings would show. I just thought that 8.5 number was interesting. All right. Game of the week. Game day is going to be there. Big Noon Kickoff's going to be there. Your moms are going to be there. Everyone's going to be there.
Yeah, they are.
Oregon traveling to Penn State. And thank God this is not Big Noon Kickoff. Thank God this game is being played at 7:30 because this deserves to be a night game. I'm guessing it's going to be a whiteout at Penn State. And this environment is going to be insane. Oregon traveling to Penn State. Penn State currently a 3.5-point favorite in this game. Alex, take us to church.
I love Penn State this year. But Dante Moore has also impressed me beyond my wildest expectations for him. Albeit not against the most superior of opponents, but he's looked really good. But now he's going on the road into maybe the toughest environment in all of college football. Dan Lanning still kind of has to prove it a little bit in these big games. He did it against Ohio State in the regular season last year and in the Big Ten championship game, but there's been some of these other trip-ups for him. But no one is more associated with losing big games than James Franklin. So many storylines and reputations on the line. I am taking Penn State to win and Oregon to cover. This one is going to be tight.
James Franklin does not lose games that he is expected to win. And he does not win games that he is expected to lose. They're a 3.5-point favorite. I think they will win solely because they finally got it right and they got one of their biggest games of the year in the whiteout game. And it seems like it's the first time in like 5 seasons that that's happened. I guarantee you this, the two biggest games on their schedule, I guess maybe they have 3 because Indiana looks great again. They will not run the table. They will, and they will lose one of these games, whether it is Oregon or Ohio State. They will lose one of them, guaranteed. Guaranteed, they will lose one of them. And if they lose one of them, I don't know. I'll shotgun a Coca-Cola on the podcast if they don't, and I will gladly do that. No, I'm not. No, I'm not doing that. I didn't even say that either. No. And I can't believe that guy did that too. He did do it.
Up the booty hole?
I did not watch. Did not watch.
Did you watch?
No.
He watched. He watched while he was eating a beef.
I'll say, Alex, I'll say Penn State wins and they cover this game.
I kind of like where Alex's head is at with this game. The three and the hook is just so telling, though, because it's like, man, they're giving you that with
Come
Oregon.
Come on, Mr. Penn State is the cream of the crop. Put your money where your mouth is.
I think no. I think Penn State's going to win. I think Penn State's going to win the game. I'm not allowed to think the game's going to be close.
Yeah, but
These
you kept
are
saying this
two
whole
top
time,
five
this
teams
roster,
in the country.
Top down. Any other? You take the Penn State logo off of this roster, and they are the best team in the country. That is what you said.
All right, I'll say this calmly. I'll say this very calmly. Penn State covers.
Yeah.
Penn State minus 3.5 feels like, oh, I get Oregon and they can lose by a field goal and I still win. Mm-mm. Bullet. You get a bullet.
Hey,
that's what
Ethan,
Oregon gets. Yes.
Ethan, I just want to let you know you have all the same picks as Corey.
Yeah, baby.
This week?
Yes.
I've already
oh,
gone
yeah.
5-1 once this
that's,
year. I've already gone
hey,
5-1 it, once this year.
I have to have, which means it'll never happen again. I have to have a horrible week at some point, so it's fine. It's fine.
But
it's fine.
But the good news is, Corey, you have all the same
unstoppable
picks
force,
as Ethan,
movable object.
Meets a movable
we'll
object.
We'll let you decide which is which, America.
All right, listen.
Well, I have every underdog covering. That definitely wow. happens, right?
Oh yeah, every single time. All right, look, we got a huge matchup in the SEC that I want to get to. This is the last game that we're all going to pick. Actually, we have two. We got
to
do them both. You know what?
I want.
There's
to
enough picks
own.
In here
no,
that we don't have to do
I,
our own
I,
this week.
I want
yeah,
to
let's
so,
just do
at least
these
one.
Two.
At
no,
least
no,
one.
Let's just...
Appease me.
Okay, we will do one. We will do one. We're going to get through these quick. We're going to
yeah,
get through these
be
quick.
Quick. Yeah.
Yep,
yeah.
We're getting through. We're getting up to the hour mark here. We're going to get you guys tucked into bed. Don't you worry. All right, LSU traveling to Ole Miss. Guys, Ole Miss is a 1.5 point favorite in this game.
So
I mean,
weird.
Rapid fire it to me. Corey,
Twitter,
give it to me.
Lane Kiffin's daughter is dating the middle linebacker for LSU. Hard launch. They're playing mind games over there. And then Lane Kiffin commented on the page and was like, yeah, bet the over. So Lane is running his mouth. I'm taking Ole Miss. Lane train, baby.
I am so hesitant to take a Lane Kiffin-led team in a game like this because it feels like they just never win these. But LSU has not looked like the four next to their name really fits.
Woo-hoo-hoo!
So I'm actually going to ride with Corey again. I'm going to take Ole Miss in this game.
Ethan, you made my point for me. The only person better at losing big games than James Franklin is Lane Kiffin. Give me LSU +1.5.
You guys seen Ole Miss's quarterback,
right,
Chambliss?
I walked into it.
Fair State right. legend. He's won two national championships at the Division II level. Guy's a baller.
All right, Alabama traveling to Georgia. Georgia laying 3.5 at home. Both of these teams, I know Georgia's the fifth-ranked team in the country. Both of these teams feel like they've lost some luster from the powerhouses that they used to be.
Because they're not the only one paying players anymore.
Yeah, well, there you have it. Alabama seems to have bounced back from that really, really terrible loss to Florida State week one. Granted, they haven't played anybody. Ugh. Give me Georgia -3.5.
I'm going to take Alabama to cover. I don't think they'll win, and that's solely just because watching Georgia play, I feel like they're on house money a little bit. I think they played worse enough to lose the Tennessee game, but they got lucky and came out on top. But Alabama loses, but they cover.
All right. Corey is so excited to do our one extra pick that I'm going to make him go last. I'll go first. Florida State, Virginia. Florida State, Virginia. Florida State. Oh, Florida State's the number eight ranked team in the country, and they're only a 6.5 point favorite at Virginia. Oh, that's easy. No. Florida State, you want to talk about a team that shouldn't have an eight next to their name? I mean, come on. They beat Alabama. And that launched them all the way into the top 10. Give me Virginia. Give me the points.
What's that spread?
6.5.
Just so I can keep track. Virginia plus six
Six
and a
and a
half.
half.
No,
Corey,
Alex, our
you go ahead. I'm skimming the schedule.
Supreme Chancellor Emperor said I have to go last. Yeah.
All
Supreme
right.
leader. If you steal mine, I'm going to be so upset.
All right. I'm
Yeah,
definitely not going to
you
steal
steal
yours. At
mine.
least I don't think. I'm big on Iowa State this year. I like them to win the Big 12. Give me Iowa State minus 6.5
Ladies and
hosting
gentlemen, there is a
Arizona.
team in America that is so miserable that they fired their head coach mid-season and thus opened up the transfer portal for current players. They are located out west, but they will be playing in the Midwest this week with seemingly their only chance at a victory for this entire 2025 college football campaign. UCLA travels to Northwestern in the soccer stadium on Lake Michigan, where they are a 6.5 point underdog. Guys, if UCLA doesn't win this game, they're not winning a game all season long. Give me UCLA with the interim coach juice and a hope and a prayer that they can muster up enough in 60 minutes to come out with a victory or at least cover the spread because they're miserable.
You are a
I
sicko.
am what I
You are
am.
an absolute
I am
sick.
what
I
I
love
am,
it,
but
but
you know
you're a
what? I'll even
sicko.
say it. Lock of the week.
Oh, wow. Alex, take us home.
Everyone, thank you for listening. This has been another episode of Big Banter. Make sure you hit the follow button, the subscribe button from wherever you are listening to us. And hey, don't forget, the Ryder Cup starts this week. Go USA. Have a wonderful college football Saturday. See you next week.